The following podcast was recorded on Friday, June 24th, 2022, featuring Sam Rhines of Arbor Data Science. To hear the podcast in real time, you can sign up for a free trial at arborresearch.com or by emailing Gus Handler directly at gus.handler@arborresearch.com. You can also call Arbor Research and Trading at 1-800-606-1872. Thanks for your time and enjoy the podcast. Welcome everyone to the latest edition of Talking Data. I'm your host, Kristen Radish with Arbor Research and Trading, joined today by our commentator, Sam Rhines of Arbor Data Science. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, thank you, Kristen.
We're looking forward to your update today on the used car market. New auto production has been hitting the brakes due to semiconductor shortages and other critical components that impacted the market. How large is the used car market versus the new car market?
Well, going into COVID, it's about 2.5 times the size of the new car market in terms of volume and dollar volume every year. It's a very, very large market. It does impact, you know, overall consumer spending, and it's one of the places that I think it's overlooked a lot. Right, there's a lot of credit that's involved with used autos. There's a significant amount of profitability and employment in used auto sales, right? There's a lot of jokes about, you know, auto sales people. So I think it tends to be overlooked, but it's a very important part of the economy. It's something that, when we lease a car and it comes off lease, guess where it ends up? It ends up in the used car market. Where do all the rental cars end up? Used car market. So I think it's one of those markets where, you know, when used auto prices were soaring, it got a lot of headlines. It was one of those things where we were all talking about, look at the inflation, blah, blah, blah. But it suddenly just disappeared, and it disappeared at a pretty awkward time from the headlines, given that it's one of the more interesting sectors for the cross section of a large market, a significant amount of employment, and, you know, employment that tends to be highly volatile and is credit sensitive. So I think it's one of those places that while we paid attention to it for, you know, call it, you know, 6 months, we probably still should be paying attention to it as a leading indicator of what's really going on following the Fed rate hikes.
And speaking of inflation, how has the auto market been impacted by inflation, or how does it impact inflation?
So it's a really interesting kind of double-edged sword. When you have no new cars basically being produced, and if they are being produced, they're being produced without a whole bunch of options. If you don't have semiconductors and you want to make a new car, what do? You strip out a whole bunch of the cool stuff that we expect in a new car. And so that's kind of what happened to the new car market. So you would just basically go to the used car market and go find a, you know, call it a 2019 or even a early 2020 or a 2018 with all the options you wanted and a few miles on it. Remember that a lot of the one of the more interesting parts of COVID was you had a flood of rental cars that hit the used car market. You had rental car companies going bust, and, you know, in order to, you know, get some cash, they put a lot of cars on the used car market at kind of the perfect time. So there was a significant amount of, call it, going to the car that you didn't necessarily want, but getting all the options that you wanted in the used car market that pushed up the pricing. Right, normally the used car market is a little bit more of a tail. You're looking to buy a car that's 6 to 7 years old, kind of five to seven years old on average. This time around, you really began to be looking for a car that was 2, maybe 3 years old, that was sort of new. You know, the sort of new used car became the next big thing, and that was inflationary. You began to really push up the prices of that average used car. You pushed up the average significantly, you pushed up the average of the credit involved in buying a used auto, and so on and so forth. So it impacted inflation in a pretty meaningful way right off the bat, but it has much longer term consequences, not just for inflation pressures, but also for the dynamic in the auto market as we move forward.
Let's take a look at the car inventory, used car inventory. We have a chart to show on this. And what does this tell us?
That there's no inventory out there. And that's going to take a lot of time, right? That's not something that you just flick a switch and all of a sudden you have auto inventory back. That's just not going to happen. You have to have a combination of semiconductors, production come back. You have to have parts and parts suppliers begin to come through, and you have to have the final end demand. And that's really where I think you're going to have kind of the worst recovery possible for new auto sales in the US, because as soon as you get the supply chain sorted out, call it in the back half of this year, to make a new car and make new cars in the volume that you would have wanted to over the past couple of years, the demand's unlikely to be there in kind of call it full force. Demand was satiated to a degree by the used car market, for one, and you're looking at much higher loan values, right? These, you know, auto loans aren't cheap loans, and it's going to be a little bit of an issue, right? And so it's going to be an interesting story where lease volumes are probably going to be lower because lease rates are very sensitive to credit, both to credit and to interest rates. And if you're buying a new car and financing it, that's pretty sensitive to where interest rates are. So if you're looking at a 3.5% Fed funds rate, guess what? That lease is not going to be cheap, and the financing is going to be close to 10%.
So will it be in line with the pain that we're going to start seeing in the housing market? Is the housing market correlated then directly to this auto market?
So in a way, yes. There's a differential in the loan, right? You know, you typically buy a house on a 15 or 30 year mortgage. I hope that most people aren't buying a car on a 15 or 30 year type loan. You know, those tend to be a much shorter duration type asset. So in a way, housing should be affected less because it's a little bit of a longer horizon. It should move a little bit less than the auto market. The auto market should look a lot like the housing market, but a little bit like the housing market on steroids. So that's kind of the way that I think about it, is that if housing is cracking in a meaningful way, which it is, then the auto market is cracking in a meaningful way, which it is.
With credit tightening and prices increasing, when will we see a normalized, quote unquote, normalized level of sales?
A normalized level of sales, this is one of the craziest parts, is it's not just a normalized level of sales, it's also a normalized level of pricing, right? So it's volume, you know, volume and price. I would say you're likely to see volume react much faster than price. The problem with price is that a lot of, call it large used car dealers and dealerships, paid a lot of money for their used car inventory. And so they're going to try to hold the line. It's never pleasant to have to write down your inventory to, you know, call it mark to market, right? In markets, we do it every, you know, we are forced to do it every day. But used car dealerships don't have to until they have to. So I would say you're probably likely to see volume fall faster than you will see price fall. Very similar to the way that the housing market works. We've seen volumes fall pretty significantly and react pretty quickly. We haven't seen pricing do the same thing. Sellers tend to try to hold the line on pricing until they can't anymore. So I would say, you know, call it 3 to 6 months on, you know, for pricing to begin to crack, but you're probably already in the middle of seeing volumes begin to come back down to normalized levels.
Sam, what should we be watching for next?
In the car market, I think it's really interesting. This is where I think it's slightly overlooked how long of a tail this used car boom is going to, what this is going to have an effect on just generally. And that is, when you sell a lot of used vehicles and you don't sell a lot of new cars, it creates a higher level of demand for parts and service going forward. That I do not think people have really wrapped their heads around, that this tail, this 2 years of very, very few new cars being sold, is going to have a very long tail to it. This is not something that is going to magically disappear in 2023 or 2024 and we're going to forget about it. We're going to be talking about the call it the aging of the car fleet all over again, right? If you think back to when we did the cash for clunkers and how old the fleet was, and we wanted to have better fuel efficiency, et cetera, et cetera. We've taken a fairly large step backward in kind of the overall level of the fleet, if you will, over the past couple of years. That's going to have a long tail for auto dealerships that specialize in service. That's going to have a lot of impacts on parts and part dealer and part companies. And that's going to be a 5 to 10 year story, not a 5 to 10 month story.
Well, Sam, thank you for your thoughts today. And thank you everyone for joining us. We are client driven. If you have any questions or feedback on future topics, please let us know. For further information on Arbor Research, Bianco Research, or Arbor Data Science, please contact Gus Handler at gus.handler@arborresearch.com. Have a great day, everyone.